how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
For a lot of IT services companies, a conversation about diversity leads to, where do I start? So let's have a conversation with an expert, and we'll find some similarities to the MSP world. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate this. This is one of those areas of interest for me of talking about, because I always sort of say, like, when I want to think about doing the right thing for people and their businesses, growing in this area of diversity, equity, and inclusion is important, because it's the nice thing when something, doing the right thing and doing the profitable thing actually do align. So if you can indulge me, tell me about your background and what you're doing now.
Thanks for having me, Dave. As you said, this is such an important topic, and I'm happy to be here to discuss it with you and your listeners. So a little bit about me. I started off in human resources years ago, found myself in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. I was working to advocate for the rights of persons with disabilities within the workplace. I eventually moved on, went to law school, became an attorney. I've been practicing law for the past 6 years. And then this work over, you know, spring of 2020, like so many other people, this work pulled me back, right? So I, along with others, I founded Black Belonging Matters. And what we do is we address diversity in the workplace in a different aspect than is the norm. What we do is we teach employers how to embrace diverse talent, as opposed to teaching employers how to teach diverse talent to conform or change themselves to fit in the workspace, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it does. So I want to ask the question, like, and this may seem obvious if anybody's spending it, but I think it's also often worth time. I ask the question a lot, like, why, and why do we care? Why should small business owners, so those companies that are, you know, just either a handful of people or even, you know, small teams of 10 or 15, why should small business owners care about this space?
Why shouldn't they, right? It's you're going to grow because of it. If you don't care about this, then you're going to be stagnant, right? There are lots of numbers out there. There's been research throughout the years that point to diversity as being a prime factor in your growth. I mean, companies that are racially diverse outperform non-diverse companies by 35%. There's a 15% more sales revenue for companies that are more diverse. Diversity is also a better determinant of sales revenue than it is for company size or your company age. There's so many factors. Millennials, that, you know, that's a big thing. If you're trying to hire people, 83% of millennials put diversity at the top of their list as to, you know, whether or not they would want to join a company. And, you know, 70% of employees, perhaps a little bit more, say they would leave a company if the company isn't focused on diversity. So it's really all about growth, really, and ensuring that you are staying competitive in the marketplace.
Well, it's, you know, it's funny, you go, why shouldn't, like, it's, I go to that same space, but I didn't want to lead you on this one. And so I wanted to hear right from you is, hey, what you lead with, what you say and what I'm thinking are the same thing. But the reason that we focus on this is all of those business reasons that you just outperform, you outclass. It's what the new generation of workers are looking for. You know, I certainly was like, that's what I was hoping you were going to say, but I wanted listeners to hear, like, that's where you went right away, was right to the, hey, these are competitive advantages. These are areas where I can outperform by investing. So one of the things that I hear a lot from listeners is, you know, they think, well, we're really small and how do we, like we're struggling with this. What's the recommendation that you give them for, like, the best ways for them to start thinking about it and addressing diversity as a systematic thing?
Wow. I think the best thing that I would say, and I'm obviously a little bit biased, but if this isn't your field, hire a consultant, right? Because you wouldn't, if you're not a plumber, you wouldn't try to install plumbing in your home, right? I think a lot of business owners may think, oh, you know, it might be too costly or possible to implement or it doesn't matter. But for all those reasons I outlined, it clearly does matter, right? But if you hire a consultant, and it doesn't have to be on a long ongoing basis, but the consultant can come in, look at your organization and help you create a roadmap. It's not something that you do in a hodgepodge fashion, excuse me. So, I mean, clearly there are things that you can do on your own. You know, some of the things that when I consult with businesses, I say to them, you know, look at your website, you know, is it inclusive? Does it show diverse faces? Because if you're trying to bring in people that are diverse, the first thing they do is go to your website. And if they don't see diverse faces, it's not creating a welcoming atmosphere and you're not going to attract that talent. And especially in tech, that's obviously important to be able to attract talent. So that's one of the things that you can do on your own. You can join Facebook groups. There's lots of Facebook groups out there that promote diversity. There's groups on LinkedIn. There are lots of things that you can do. But I think when it comes down to it, if you're serious, the investment in a consultant and the proper consultant too is going to reap dividends that outweigh whatever it is that you spend on the consultant.
Right. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell to my audience, these MSPs, this exact answer is the same answer we give as technology experts to other small businesses, saying, if you're not an expert in this, you go get one. Right. This should sound incredibly familiar to those that are thinking about it. What's the big misconception that you're always looking at when people are talking about DEI efforts when it comes to small companies? Like, what's the biggest misconception out there?
I think if I were going to say the biggest one, it would be that it doesn't matter within the small space, right? And it does matter. And I think it's even more effective and it's quicker to implement in a small space. When you have a global corporation, you're dealing with lots of spinning wheels. It's much harder to implement. It's much harder to track progress and, you know, track results. But when you're in a small space, it's you and your team, and it can really just blossom and grow. And you see that much quicker than in a larger space.
Right. So are there things that organizations should be thinking about in terms of starting places? So you start working with a consultant, you start approaching it. Is culture where you generally start? You start on hiring practices? Like, where are the areas that, how do you kind of prioritize the work?
That's hard to say because it's dependent on the organization, right?
Sure. So
really though, what we would say is pick one. You know, you can't start with everything, but, you know, as you reference, you know, what's the area? You pick one and you start there and you move on from that. But it's really dependent on the organization. So when you speak with a consultant, that person will listen and find out what your needs are. Is it in your hiring? You know, maybe your hiring is okay. Maybe it's when you get to the interview phase that you have a problem. Or maybe it's when you get to the person being employed that they get there and they're like, no, I'm leaving, and you're at the retention phase. So it's really organization dependent. It's not something that a one size fits all answer would suffice. I think one of the greatest things that I would recommend to any organization is to pay attention to what we term belonging. And belonging is the sense of being appreciated in an organization and being authentic within that organization. More than anything else, that's really what we need to build on, is not only attracting people and bringing them in, but ensuring that once they get there, they experience that sense that they can be their authentic selves and that they can thrive in this workplace.
So that's a really difficult thing to work on, right? That sense of belonging, that community culture, like creating a workforce that's supportive. That's hard, right? Like, so how do you measure efforts like that? How do you understand the impact that changes are making in that context? How do you measure it?
I think one of the biggest ways to measure it is, are your people staying, right? I think retention is the main measurement of belonging, because that, if people don't feel like they belong, they're going to leave. I think 50%, the last interview, 50% of people say if they don't feel like they belong, they're out the door. I think also engagement, which is hard. Like you said, these things conceptually, they're kind of all over the place. It's hard to measure, but productivity is somewhat a measurement of engagement. So those are things that you can look at. You know, how productive is this employee? Are my people staying when I do get them in place? Are they staying or are they leaving? And is the rate at which they're leaving, is that outside the industry norm? And if it's outside the industry norm, then you may have a problem. Although, you know, caveat with your particular niche, MSPs, there does seem to be some work to be done in retaining diverse talent. So it's kind of hard to measure.
You're being nice about it. There's data that says that in technology, we have retention problems and we have cultural building problems around keeping diverse talent in. And this is I have my own studies in particular around the leadership thing that shows, you know, this is a vastly majority male and white industry. You know, the reason I've been looking at this space as much as I have is because of the exact data points that you started with. If I do the correlation of those companies outperform that are investing in diversity, yet I have leadership teams of IT companies that are not diverse, that tells me we are literally leaving money on the table. Right? Like that's the direct line I can tell is if we were better at this, we would outperform. I like strategies that do that. So the reason I asked about measurement is because, you know, one of the skills that MSPs are really great at is measurement and process. So I'm looking, you know, one of the things to encourage people to work on this is that it sounds like, and I wanted your validation, that if you have a skill set in measurement and process implementation, you can match that skill set to this problem. Is that a fair view of the world?
No, definitely. I mean, there are, if your skill is in measurement and statistics, then yes, there are points that you can measure. Perhaps it's not within the MSP industry. Perhaps you use a similar industry. You know, when you take a measurement, you know, if your industry is not performing in the manner in which you would like it to, then you measure it against an industry, a similar industry, that is performing in the manner in which you would like your company or industry to perform. So I think definitely using measurements from a similar industry and using these skills as MSP professionals, you're definitely able to perhaps better than many other companies measure how well your diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging strategies are working.
Right. So one of the things that you know, I'm the first one to admit that, you know, some of my thinking around this comes of some of the events that happened last summer. And so it's each time, you know, I always like to say, when you're presented with new data, you interpret that data and then you make decisions and changes based on that data. You know, for many of us to look at what happened last summer, it was an incredibly obvious way that, you know, you couldn't help but notice in many cases. So we spent a lot of time thinking about that. I've talked a lot about this in a very broad sense so far, what it can be done at an organizational level, what can be done at a business level. But let's get this into an individual level. Like, you know, so in order to get more diverse perspectives, be more inclusive, oftentimes the responsibility should fall on the individual to own that problem. So I'll use myself as the example, right? If I'm saying, hey, I'm a white man in this industry who is looking to make sure that my own network isn't failing me from a connectivity perspective, from a voices perspective, what kind of advice do you give to people that are saying, I need to make sure that my network is properly diverse, that I am hearing perspective and voices? How do you break out of your existing network to get a broader sense?
I mentioned social media earlier, and that's so accessible, right? There are lots of groups on social media that are dedicated to bringing people together so that they can have these difficult conversations. I'm in one of those groups. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name.
No, of course, but, you know, you absolutely are.
I think it's called White People Doing Something.
Okay.
It's on Facebook. And you have really great conversations in a very non-judgmental fashion, because, you know, that I think is very important in learning and growing, is to understand that we all have biases. We don't know the answers. We mess up, but it's the willingness to grow that matters, right? And so in that particular group, we have people who ask questions all the time. What do I do in this instance? You know, what do I do in that instance? And that helps. And the more you engage in those conversations, the more you obviously internalize and the better you become at vocalizing it yourself and helping your family members, and it just blossoms, right? And that's really right. What we want. So you're right, it starts with you. So I would say groups on Facebook, joining civic organizations. Perhaps you never thought of joining the, you know, Black Bar Association. I'm an attorney, so that's my gift. You know, maybe you're a white person, you can join the Black Bar Association and, you know, integrate with people and have conversations like that. LinkedIn, again, is another great way to reach out to others that are outside. You can connect with other people outside your network and really listen to what they say. You know, some people get upset when you post on LinkedIn. That doesn't have, you know, to do strictly with professional matters. But what we are seeing now and what I push for is to bring the social issues to LinkedIn, because, you know, it's like, you know, it has to do with people. So it belongs in LinkedIn.
Right.
You have all these avenues that you can just, you have to seek it out, though, really is what it is. Seek out those avenues and don't be afraid to engage, because I think, I don't think there's anybody who would fault someone who says something the wrong way, or we all understand that everyone is trying to work and build and grow. And that is the most important thing, is that you're right. Willing.
And if we tie back the, you know, yes, you've got to do the work, but let's tie back to that first point. By doing the work, you can open up new markets, new opportunities, and new possibilities for your organization. So that's the benefit. Well, thank you for joining me. How do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Thank you for having me. This is a great conversation. To get in touch with me, my website, www.blackbelongingmatters.com. It's pretty long. Or you can email me at Taryn, T-A-R-I-N, T like Tom, A like Apple, R like Robert, I N like Nancy, @blackbelongingmatters.com.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
from their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.